Dr. Kufa Chakeza, thank you so much for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks you. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. Okay, so vaccinations are a struggle, as we've just been discussing. It's a struggle to get even people over 60 beyond the 38% mark. But one of the things we're going to need to consider, of course, is the fact that cases of COVID-19 amongst children have been increasing, and we're likely going to need to vaccinate them, aren't we?
Yes, that's correct. Cases have been increasing over the last, since the onset of the Delta wave. And just to point out that it's not all children are affected to the same extent. It's mostly our older teens, our 15 to 19-year-olds, followed by the 10 to 14-year-olds, that in which we have seen very large increases in COVID-19 cases.
Okay, so we got the green light through SAHPRA for Pfizer to be administered to this age group over the weekend, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and
we did.
And then last week we also spoke about, we were speaking about how Sinovac was doing a trial amongst children. To what extent, you know, is there that much of a difference between children's, I don't know, DNA or blood work and ours?
So like any drug or any new product that comes on the market, it is tested separately in adults and tested separately in children. And the reasons for that is that children are not small adults. They have sometimes different reactions to the same product. So sometimes you see adverse events that are unique in children and some adverse events that are unique in adults. So as a precaution, we always do trials separately for adults and children. And sometimes pregnant women also have their own trials because, you know, sometimes you have things that are unexpected. But generally, we expect that if something is safe in adults, it will be safe in children. And that's the experience that countries that have started vaccinated children have found, that the same sort of adverse events they see in adults are the same that they see in children. Most of them are mild and they go away in a couple of days.
Okay. So, Doc, are you saying that they more or less do find themselves to be like small adults?
But there is a sort of unique side effect that has been seen with the mRNA vaccines like Pfizer and Moderna, that it's causing a myocarditis, like an inflammation of the heart, in younger children, less so in adults. So in young people and young and adolescents. And they think that the younger the children are, the more likely this event. It's still very rare. You're looking at about 40 to 160 cases of this myocarditis for every 1 million doses administered in the US and in North America. So the question then becomes, this is a moderate to serious side effect. Although it's very rare, it can happen. So then that risk of that myocarditis needs to be balanced with the risk of COVID-19 infection and the complications that may result from it, which, as you know, are not as common as in children as in adults. So that's where the issue comes. So you will hear on the media, you will read that there's a very strong lobby in the West to say, maybe let's not vaccinate children under 12 years, let's wait a little bit, or let's not vaccinate. I think the UK is not vaccinating children under the age of 16, and that's the main reason, that there is this side effect that has come up. Most of the cases of this myocarditis resolve in 3 weeks. They will have chest pain, they'll have palpitations, and when they do tests for the adults, they'll find that cardiac enzymes are elevated, indicating that there is inflammation of the heart. So it's not a small thing, but at the same time, it's very rare. And so that's the issue that's at hand. And that tends to be a lot more common. Although it's rare, it's a bit more common in younger children than in adults.
I see.
And that's the reason why these trials are done, that there might be one or two rare adverse events that may then occur in children that you may not see in adults. And so we want to do trials and to make sure that there isn't something like that happening.
Okay, Doctor, according to an article that you've written or you co-written, the likelihood of COVID-19 prevalence amongst youngsters is 5.7 times less likely than with adults, 13.3 times less likely in terms of admission to hospital, and 6.7 times less likely to die in hospital. For those of us listening in who happen to be already vaccine hesitant for themselves as adults. You know, how do we get them to bring their children in and help us out?
Okay. So what we presented in that article is average for all the children. So it's not the same for all children. So as I was saying, that the number of cases in older children has been going up. In fact, as of about 4 weeks ago, the rate at which cases are developing in children 15 to 19 has now exceeded that of adults. Because, I mean, with adults, maybe most adults have either gotten COVID or been vaccinated. So we have fewer and fewer adults available to get new infection. That might be the case. And whereas in the first and the second wave, schools were closed and a lot of children were shielded because they were at home. But we know that part of the third wave happened when children were at school. So we have seen like a 73% increase, you know, about more than a 70% increase in the proportion of children who got COVID in this third wave compared to the first wave. When we look at children 15 to 19, that number is double what it was. So if we compare the proportion of children in the first wave and in the third wave, it's double in the third wave for 15 to 19-year-olds. So it's not the same. So if I have an older teen, particularly if they have an underlying condition, because about 60% of the children that die in hospital have an underlying condition. So that might be diabetes, that might be asthma, a malignancy, a cancer of some sort that they are living with. HIV, as you know, we have quite a number of adolescents that live with HIV from perinatal transmission from their mothers when they were younger or when they were born. So not all adolescents are the same. If your child is healthy and there's no underlying conditions, we're not saying they shouldn't be vaccinated, because it's important that they vaccinate to also protect the other people around them, to protect the adults around them, because we know that adolescents, especially the older ones, can transmit just as much as adults. But we know that the vaccine is 100% effective in limiting transmission, but it does help. I mean, the studies that are being done and surveillance coming out of North America shows, and even our own data here, that shows about 50 to 90% effectiveness in preventing transmission, but close to 100% in preventing death, and 90 to 95% in preventing
hospitalization.
Yes. So we know that children are not at risk of severe disease anyway, to start off with. But I do think that the effect of preventing transmission may be a good reason to vaccinate. But if your child is underlying conditions, that's a very good reason that they should be vaccinated, if you can get them vaccinated as soon as possible.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tendesai Kufa Chakeza, of the NICD, epidemiologist and public health specialist, giving us some insight there.